Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So good to see New Life family. Amen. It's just good to feel the presence of God like we do today. And with a world that's full of mixed emotions right now, coronavirus, social unrest, we need Jesus. And I must encourage you today, it's an honor of ours at New Life Fellowship to serve our community and be a light and to be supportive of our government and our magistrates and to follow the rules they've given us and the liberties they've given us, and thank God for the freedom of worship. And so we want to make sure that we take advantage of these liberties and point back to our Lord and Savior. And he's not far off away. He's right here, right now. Amen. And for instance, next week, it is our hope, amen, that we can facilitate taking care of the children six and under. But we're following protocols to do that. We need help to do that. Amen. And if the Lord's help, next weekend, we'll be able to take care of our children even better. And hopefully this month, coming up July, about the third week of the month, we'll do a kids' life service in here. Amen. Where we all, as parents, we join and we get to be kids too, or learn how to be kids again. Amen. How we see ourselves is important, isn't it? We need to see ourselves from how our Father sees us. There's some things that you and I know about ourselves, and there's some things that we think about ourselves that either puts us in the true identity role or in a false identity role. Everybody agree? And this is so important for you because for me to not be who God designed me to be is not to walk in the spirit of truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth, right? And what God has to say about you is very important. Anybody agree on that? Because the way God speaks about you is really the way it is. And the enemy knows that if he can get you to look at yourself from a different lens and to think about yourself with different mindset, that he has taken away from you your faith in God. Because God has given you his identity. He's given you his name. He has chosen you to be the place where he abides. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he purchased you with his own blood. Amen. It's important that we think about ourselves from the right lens, because now it puts a new light on the passage where it talks that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Does anybody believe that God's telling the truth when he says that? Now, he's revealing something to us because he's not mean. God is never mean. He's always good. And he wants us to know the truth so that we can be, you shall know the truth and the truth shall, amen. So knowing, intimately knowing, personally knowing, having fellowship with the truth is what makes me free to believe who he says that I am. You see, how I think about myself tells me whether or not I'm living a lie or living the truth. Come on now, ladies and gentlemen, you got this. If I don't believe in who God says I am living a lie. And all liars, oh, somebody's tracking now. But if I believe who God says I am, and I let him give me what I need, and I need to know something I don't know, and I may not understand it, but I need to know it. Anybody need to know it, whether you understand it or not? And that knowing is experience. God wants to give everybody everyday experiences with him that keeps you in your true identity. And the place where you dwell is the kingdom of God. All liars have their place in the lake of fire. Amen? Now, that don't sound good. Well, it ain't good. But the point is, it's not bad information to know. This is good information today. Because if you're frustrated, you're angry, full of anxiety, you doubting everything around you, fear is just gripping your spirit, you're not in your true identity. And guess where the home of that is? We gotta get this today. But if you're full of hope and joy just keeps bubbling out of you, just can't quit talking about Jesus and how good he is and validating everybody around you as being special to the Lord and being more concerned about the needs of others than yourself, this being the mind of Christ, where does that place the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, guess what happens? You're able now to walk in the Spirit. I haven't met anybody that really don't want to walk in the Spirit. They want to be about their Father's business. But then if I'm not about my Father's business, and last time I checked, his business is the Great Commission. And if you're not baptizing and making disciples, remember this, everyone needs to know this. It's very important. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Whether you're a planter or a waterer, you're part of God's grand mission, which is baptizing and making disciples. You are a powerful person. God didn't make no junk. But if you doubt who you are, guess what you're believing? A lie. And all liars, I gotta say it this way, religious mask. Has anybody ever thought for a moment that I'm not worthy? I have. You don't have to raise your hand, but man, there was times I thought, I'm not worthy. That's a lie. How did I believe that lie? I was convinced I'm not worthy. Well, the moment I believe that lie, who am I in fellowship with? How did I get that lie settled in my spirit? How did I do that? I was listening to the wrong voice. The angel comes as an angel of light. And you're thinking all the while, I'm the one thinking this thought because it's logical. I am unworthy. You can't be unworthy. Why? Because Jesus went to a cross, took your identity from you, took it up on himself, shed his blood. What he did 2,000, there ain't no such thing as anyone that's unworthy. That don't exist no more. What exists is a lie. And the only way I can move from believing this lie to walking in the spirit of truth is I got to get real with God. Yeah, this is good today. This is going to help somebody. It's helping me. You see, Jesus, he'll merge with you specifically at the right time. We found out about the blind Bartimaeus, right? And his blindness was due to because he was hearing the wrong voice. And when he began to hear the voice of Jesus, something happened. He started repeating what he was hearing. And he cried the more. And because he began to say, amen, what he heard, it stopped the one, the only one that matters, Jesus, dead in his tracks. And he was able to get his sight back. Amen. If we're not involved in God's mission with him, it's because we can't see. If we can't see, it's because we're blind. And blindness is due in part of the way we hear. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. Remember, seeing is believing. It's not a true statement. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, okay, I need to know something I don't know today. And as a believer that walks in the spirit of truth, you're always encouraging people to know something that they're not aware of. And when they become aware of it, they'll say things like, man, I already knew that. I know. I was just in your life to remind you of something God's been trying to remind you of the whole time. You're helping people begin to know what they already know, but they're not hearing it because there's a misalignment between the mind and the spirit. You see, because Jesus merges with a woman at the well that's beat up. I mean, she's only coming to the well because she don't believe in herself. and she's embarrassed, she's ashamed, she's been in multiple relationships, and Jesus meets her there. And he brings good news to her, but good news is not always pretty, is it? And he challenges her because of her thinking. She was ripe for the picking. He knew it. And he tells her, give me drink. And she stops and says, oh, okay. She starts getting real with him because he challenged her. She says, so here you are, a Jew. Oh, we're going to name the teams now, aren't we? And I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. Here you are, a man. We're going to get gender. We got all these teams we're on. And Jesus is saying, oh, you want to get real now. And this is so important for us to get this. We're not on, there ain't but two teams. It's the Jesus team and the Satan team. It's the light team and it's the dark team. Come on, I'm talking about spiritual things right now. You either on the team that serves or you on the team that thinks there's entitlement. You got to catch this. This is important because they ain't a bunch of teams. There's only two. And Jesus challenges her. He said, if you knew who it was that is asking you for drink, you would ask me instead. Y'all got to catch this. I asked you to serve me, and you got a problem serving me. And the reason you have a problem serving me is because you don't know who you are. But if you knew who I am, you would ask me to serve you, and I would give you water that you would never thirst again. Y'all got to catch this. The Syrophoenician woman. She comes to Jesus because she needs Jesus to help her with a situation and a relationship that she wants fixed. And Jesus, because he has influence, she needs a miracle. Some of y'all are going to catch this in a minute. This is good. Because there are going to be people coming because they need what you have. Because they ain't got it and they need it. And you're going to have to address some things in their life that you're kind of going to be nervous addressing. And it has to do with identity. Jesus says to her, and everybody misinterprets this all the time. He says, is it meat for the children to give their bread to dogs? Now, y'all got to catch this. Jesus don't see her as a dog. He's speaking to the spirit that's convinced her she's a dog. And he's saying to that spirit, is it meat for the true children, which I see you as, you don't see yourself as this, to give the bread to the dogs? And now she gets real. And she say, yeah, Lord, you got me. But the dogs get the crumbs. I don't know what to do with this, but you do. And the Lord said, I can help you now. I can help you now. And some of us, we need some help because God is setting you up to take care of the people he's put in front of you so he can be the king of his kingdom within you and he can touch their lives. But you've got to come to realize who you really are. You're powerful. You're anointed. You're special. And we're talking about a topic when fear and faith mix because the enemy's after your faith and he will cloud up your vision. Every time you give him a place in your ear to hear, he clouds your vision. The next thing you know, you're doubting the very thing you're designed to walk in. I'm not preaching to nobody here, by the way. I'm talking to the guy I look at in the mirror. And God keeps reminding me that he needs me to go through the things I go through so that I can help somebody and be touched with that compassion and the feelings of their own personal influences in this world. Infirmities, sicknesses, fears, doubts. Amen. I want to read a passage to you. And I'm going to give you three things to be aware of when you deal with yourself. Amen. And the passage goes this way in Ephesians 4. Don't forget this. It doesn't take faith to believe a lie. It takes faith to believe the truth. Don't forget this. It's so important. We have a tendency to believe a lie because faith is not required. And when we're not eating from life, but rather knowledge, we'll walk through life without any faith. We'll put a mask on and say, I believe in Jesus. I go to church. I'm involved. But you never stepped into the Spirit so that through the Spirit you could be empowered to walk in the Spirit and be who you're designed to be. So you can be very, very, very intelligent and not be smart. You can know a lot of things, a lot of information, but be very dumb. I know there's nobody here that's not intelligent. Everybody in this room is intelligent. Question is, are we walking in the Spirit? Are we smart? And so it reads this way. Paul, he's telling the church in the Ephesian church, when you choose faith over fear. When you choose faith over fear, verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We will not be influenced by people try to trick us, and with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow because they're in identity, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Speaking the truth changes everything in our lives. Everybody agree with that? But God's limited to his engagement in our lives based on the truth that we speak. Amen. We have to ask ourselves the questions today. Are we speaking the truth? If I want to know what God is doing, I want to be aware of what he's doing, I have to pay attention to him in my life. And so I have to focus my attention on truth-telling. And what does that equal when Jesus comes and reveals himself 2,000 years ago? I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. And so everything about the day that we're walking into right now requires our being full of the Spirit, like rivers of living water springing up out of us, so that we can only say what he says and we can only do what we see him do. Amen. That's when we're walking in true identity. So living in truth doesn't mean that I'm sinless. It just means that I tell the truth. Oh, that's important for y'all to get that, because he's not finished with you yet. He's still making you. He's still working on you. He's going to bring you to a finished product. You can live mature where you are in the Spirit. You've got mature children. You got mature teenagers, which is hard to find, but they're there. Anybody tracking with me? They're right where they need to be at their stage of growth. Amen. And they manifest the fact that their Creator is in charge in their life. They're right where they need to be at what age they're at. And so it is as we develop in the Spirit. We are mature. Amen. Not that we don't make mistakes. A righteous man or woman falls seven times, but they get up. They readjust. They get under the spout where the glory falls out. And they get everything they need in the Spirit so that they can walk in the Spirit that day. Amen? And so, three ways that I can better understand the mystery of myself. Quit trying to figure your spouse that you're not going to do that. But Lord, the Lord will help you with you, though. But I want him to first work with my spouse. Have you ever thought why you want the Lord to fix your spouse first? Where'd that come from? But it's so real. It's like a megaphone in my mind. It's got to be God talking. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so as soon as the Lord will fix everybody around me, then the Lord, you can start working on me. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud like I just did, but we should act like it, won't we? And when I'm putting that on display, I hadn't said it out loud, but man, I'm thinking it, and I can't help but act like it. I want everything to be like Burger King. I want to have it my way. Right? So the first way that you can better understand you is the real me. The only way I'm going to understand me is I got to focus on the real me. And so the real me tells the truth about myself without the religious mask. The real me is honest about where I'm at. I'm realistic about who I am. Amen. The real me doesn't talk about what I know in my head or mind. I focus on the fact that I feel a certain way and I need to get something to take care of this emotion that's from heaven. It's a signal. It's a warning signal. It's there, but it ain't about people in general. It's about me coming into my identity. I feel a certain way about you, so you must be the bad guy. No. The reason you feel a certain way about them is a signal. You need to get you fixed. And the only way you can be fixed is you got to go to the great physician. It's important that we get in alignment with the presence of God so that through us, he can love on that person you got a problem with. Because you can't love on them unless the one who gives you the love has endowed you with love. I can only love you as I have been loved. And they ain't nobody can love like Jesus can love. When he gets through loving you, you don't want to be without him. You want to be just like him. You want to walk like him. You want to talk like him. You want to do everything just like him. I know I'm supposed to be happy, Pastor, but I'm not. Oh, now God can work with that. I know that I'm not supposed to be afraid, but I'm full of fear right now. I'm glad you owned up to it. I can work with that. That's what the Lord's telling us, to get real with ourselves. Do you know science proves what I'm talking about today? And I like to go with God on this proof thing, his presence, his word, what he's saying. But I'm going to pause for a minute and just give you some science on this. Neurocardiology. Anybody ever heard of it? The relationship between the mind and the heart. It's real. You see, your heart receives fresh and new information all the time. And without God, you get trouble with that, can't you? But you've been given emotions from heaven to be your signal. That's why the outpouring of the Spirit and fire is so important. You need that emotion. You need to get on fire with God so you can get boldness to go where he's wanting to lead you. But your mind reflects off of recognition, measuring things that you've experienced from the past. So your mind organizes and processes the things that you have already gathered as information from yesterday. Thus, the reason the enemy builds fear, doubt, and unbelief in our spirit. It's his platform. It's what we process and we organize in our thinking up here. Children that haven't even had their brain developed in the womb, their heart's developed. Their brain hadn't developed yet. They start getting new, fresh information, and they will exhibit anxiety and fear before they ever have a brain. And they got that information because God wired them that way. Where do they get that fear and anxiety from? The mother. No, this is science. It proved it. Now, I'm going to say this so everybody can relax. We're the mother as the church. What are we giving our children? You can go to the children and you'll find out who the mother really is when you look at the children a little bit. Because they display the image and the idea that mom has of herself. This is really good today because I happen to be part of the mama, the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And we shouldn't be okay with anything coming to the heart of our children that shouldn't be there. This is so important for us to muse. The heart, the receiver, the mind, the processor, the information gatherer. Amen. And the enemy wants us operating out of our rational mind and not out of a heart that's full of God. God has chosen, amen, our inner man, the spirit, the heart of a person, to be the place where he sits on his throne. But until I get real with God about where I am, I haven't moved into a life of repentance yet. The enemy does not like the term repent, and so he's made it a bad word. But I can assure you, living a life of repentance is moving you back into your true identity, which is the second thing you need to be aware of when it relates to you, is the true you. The true you. The true you is how God sees you. The true you is where God has met, where God wants to plant his purpose and identity and image in you. But the enemy's working overtime to keep us processing information, rationalizing, and making decisions and organizing the way we're going to live life. And what happens is when the heart and the mind are not aligned and in unison, the enemy has a playground to play in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many times have I made decisions that seemed to be good decisions, but my heart wasn't lined up to it? I had rationalized and organized and processed the information I have in my mind based on my past, not on what God was saying, and I made a decision because it equaled good decision. But a lot of good decisions don't mean that God decisions. And y'all know I'm okay with silence, right? Because it's registering right now. How many good decisions have I made that were not God decisions that it cost me dearly? And there was no ill intent in my decision at all. I wasn't wanting to hurt nobody, wasn't wanting to offend anybody, wasn't wanting to mess up. I didn't want to fall on my face. I rationally made a decision and processed that decision out of information that I gathered from the past. I'm just going to tell y'all, ladies and gentlemen, this is important because when you're living in that lane, which is the false me, that's the third me that wears a religious mask. And most of the knowledge that I have, most of the information I have is religious information. I believe it. And it ain't even got to have Jesus on it, but I believe it. And I've been sold a bill of goods that bring me into my false identity, which the enemy knows if I live there, he can use my power, he can use my authority, he can use my dominion, because he has manipulated me to the point that I see myself from this particular lens. And I'm locked down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so the Lord mercifully knows that the moment we come into unity with or in unison with His Spirit being the source, amen, all of a sudden I can become the true me. Because I no longer make a decision based on the information I have from the past. I forget those things which are behind, and I press for those things which are before. And I'm now able to step into my identity because I hear something. Amen. That he's been speaking all the while, but I wouldn't listen. Or either I lived in my false me to the point where the communication that I was given in with my false me is an open door for me to continue to communicate with a lying spirit that comes as an angel of Christ. And Paul addressed that spirit to the Corinthian church in the second book of Corinthians. He said, how is it that you've went from the truth, the gospel of Christ, to another gospel? How is it that now you've left the true Jesus and now you're preaching another Jesus? That's a pretty strong message from Paul 2,000 years ago, saints, and I just want to encourage you today. If it was already going to the level where Paul's having to address it, Jesus hadn't been gone yet in the clouds. No. And he's addressing the wolves that have come in, the antichrist that have come in, and now we're even preaching another Jesus. We're 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, 20 centuries later. I wonder how much the enemy has influenced the world since then. And how is it that we are okay with the fact that I can believe in Jesus, but at the same time, worry, fret, fear, anxiety, lust, arrogance. I mean, come on, we keep naming it, abides with us, and I'm okay. And all the emotions that come with frustration, anxiety, doubt, fear, unbelief, all them emotions is signals that the king ain't king in his kingdom in my life. Come on, look at our world right now. I mean, how are you going to legislate, as Tony Mill says, how are you going to legislate goodwill? How do you do that? We're making an issue over symptoms and we're not dealing with the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, the Samaritan woman, she was naming the teams. Like they really exist. These teams exist. Here you are, and here I am. I'm a woman, you're a man. I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. I mean, just, and our world is naming the teams and they don't exist. You're either on the devil's side or you're on Jesus' side. You either believe in who you are or you don't. Come on, let's get right down to brass tack and knuckles here right now on this. You're either a son of God, come on, ladies, I'm talking to you, or either you're a son of the devil. And you can go to church. You can attend services. You can attend all kind of goodwill things that serve the public. And at the same time, you're wearing this religious mask that denies who you truly are because there's no evidence of peace and joy. In my true identity, God has commissioned every one of you here, every one of you, you're to cast out demons and you're to heal the sick and you're to preach the good news and baptize and make disciples. That everybody that is breathing right now has already been given the commission and the invitation to step into their true identity and live out who they really are. But how many in our world, our church world, actually are engaged? How many of them said, oh, man, casting out the devil was way back then. We don't do that today. The devil is not in America. We can't find him. Let me just tell you, anyone that's not full of peace and joy, that don't believe in who God says they are, they're dealing with demons. And it's important that we come to grips with that reality. If there's no joy and there's no peace, we got a devil problem. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? We got a stinking thinking problem is what I'm talking about. If a person is willing to change the way they think about who they are and what God is saying to them, they can get rid of the enemy. If you're saying to myself, man, I don't want to be the false me no more. I want to be the true me, and I need to start this journey. And Peter gave the good news, said, what shall we do? And he said, you must repent. Come on, change the way you think about what you're thinking about and go down in water and take on your identity, which is Christ in his name. Come on, you're missing your identity. And when you come up out of that water, you're going to be filled with spirit and in fire. And you're going to get so bold because you're so full of love that you're not going to be ashamed of Christ. You're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Anybody want to walk in power? Well, who are you telling about Jesus? How many devils run when you walk in the room? I'm not talking about people. Sometimes we'll look at a person and call, and that's not that true. And we're revealing our identities messed up. When we look at somebody, that's a devil right there. I just told you who I am. I'm an accuser of the brethren. If I'm an accuser, who's my daddy? Satan. Come on, look, ladies and gentlemen, this is so important for us, to our false identity. The reason there's gossipers, I mean, I don't want to be a gossiper. The reason there's people that are eat up with pornography is because they have the wrong idea and identity of themselves. Pornography and gossip is not an identity, it's an action. What's the identity? Unworthiness. I'm unworthy. When I feel guilt and shame, it causes an action. Somebody's gonna catch this in a minute. The reason I will find out what's wrong with you, it makes me feel better about myself. The reason I talk down to you and the reason why I fault find is because it makes me feel better about myself. I feel so guilty. I'm ashamed of who I am. I just need to find out what's wrong with you so I can feel better about living today. And so I gossip and I fault find. Pornography. The reason they hide in the rooms and in dark places is because they're guilty. They feel unworthy. And when a person feels unworthy, action. Don't want to feel rejected no more. Huh? False identity. Who convinced you of that? And when you stay there in that false identity, the Lord can't talk to you. You can't hear. You don't have ears to hear. In your false identity, your hearing is dull because there's another voice speaking. And he's filling you, amen, up with ideas that you're measuring from your past. He's taking information. He's seen you go through your stuff. He's seen you get beat up. He's seen you get mistreated. He's seen you go through a city. Whatever it is you went through, he's seen all that. And you've given him your ear now. You're measuring everything based on what he's saying. And God can't talk until we decide, Lord, here's the real me. Here I am, a sinner, Lord. Have mercy on me. Oh, now I can talk to you. Now you're getting real. And the moment you get real, God comes with a truth about who you are and gives you a knowing about how he sees you that helps you deal with what's ugly in your life. Look, David, he knew who he was. He was a king before he ever got on the throne. And as a king, and you know who you are, David was always going into situations where he should have died. He should have died. How did you live through that? I'm a king. When you know who you are, you can't die. It's impossible for you to die. Hold it, Pastor. One day this body got it. We're not talking about that. Even though this body lays down, you don't die. You got eternal life when you was born again. Everlasting life, more life, the river of life. I mean, how much more life do we need to get before we recognize who we are? This is good. This is encouraging to me when I listen to what he has to say about it to me. But David says to his men said, which one of y'all want to go down with me to Saul's camp? I think it was Abishai. Said, I'll go. And those mighty men of valor, man, they could, every one of them could kill 800 men in any kind of battle. I mean, you didn't have a chance. David says, anybody want to go down with me? And David took him and one other guy. And Saul is on a war path to kill David. And David is not afraid. He's fearless because he knows who he is. And he goes right down into the camp, gets right in the tent where the king is. And Abishai, you want me to take him out? No, that's not the way I'm supposed to be king. God's going to make me king. And he even repents over Abishai taking piece of the garment of the king. When David gets back up to where he was, he hollers down to where they're at. And he says, oh, king, and wakes him up and said, why didn't your men protect you? So I could have taken your life. But why are you after me? And Saul said, my son. I'm going to just tell y'all, have you ever found out who you really are? If you ever make your enemies valuable, and they know you value them, they won't be your enemy no more. Hold it, Pastor. Saul was still trying to run David down. Y'all got to catch this. After Saul repented to David and said, my son, you have valued my life. If you ever value an enemy, you won't have an enemy. You'll know them. It was the next morning that David thought within himself. He thought a thought. He says, Saul is going to kill you. And David, at thinking a thought, fled. And he went and done exactly the thing that does not match his identity. He became a raider. And he joined with the enemy and started raiding. And you got 600 men of valor thinking, man, what's going on with our leader? We ain't never done this. Here we are, men of valor. We don't need to do this. But when he stepped out of his role and his true identity, everything gets taken from him. His wife, his kids, everything he owns gets taken from him. And everybody gets back to the camp. You got 600 mighty men of valor picking up stones. Well, we're going to take you out, David. That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to take out those that God has placed in your life to help you get to where you're designed to be. But this was the one lesson that the 600 mighty men of valor needed. And you need to see God work through people God's placed in your life to encourage you. You need to see them make mistakes and watch the fingerprint of God work on them and make them even greater into the identity that they're designed to be in. Pay attention to the lessons that God's teaching you as you're being made into his image. And David, they said, should we go get our wives back and our belongings? And logically, if somebody takes my wife, Pastor Lowe going to get them. That's logic. Measuring from information. Processing thoughts from the past. Oh, yeah, you mess with my wife, it's going to cost you. I'm going to get. But David said, no. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Come on, 600 mighty men of valor. And I'm going to ask the Lord, should I pursue? And if the Lord says yes, how do I do it? Made a mistake. Stepped out of my identity. There's some things that the Lord wants you to know that you don't know. And the only way you're going to get it is in his presence. And after David met with God, they went and they recovered. Some of you are, am I ever going to get to the place where I can recover what I've lost? God knows how to redeem the time. Now, I close with this thought. He wants us to get synced up with the Spirit, in the Spirit, with our heart and mind. You ever get in unison and your heart and mind come together in his Spirit, you can step into your identity. And you can walk in the Spirit. God chose his promise of Spirit and fire as the sinking process for all flesh. We'll say that one more time. for my heart and my mind to come, because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Right? And if you got enough stinking thinking right here, you'll make decisions based off the processes and the things you organize as thoughts in your mind, and you'll make bad decisions. But if you ever get synced up, he tells them, don't you tarry. It's not, don't want you to go to a prayer meeting. I want you to hang out until you be endowed with power from on high. And when you get this power, this sinking process done, then you can be my witnesses. What that means, you can step into your identity. When you're a witness to me, you're living in your identity. And you're not afraid of nothing. You're not doubting one thing. You don't go to church, you are the church. Don't play church. You don't put a mask on and make everybody think everything's okay when it's not. No, you're real now. You're not perfect, but you're real. And the more real you get, the more you step into your true identity. I told the staff, I said, and I found out, this what I found out this morning, I didn't know, that there's a difference between a Jew and a Texan. I was told today that the difference between a Jew thinks of the Holy Spirit as a dove, and a Texan thinks of the Holy Spirit as a brisket. Let me give you the reason why they said that, because I said this. I got this instrument at the house, and every one of us have smartphones, right? And they need to be synced up, right? And if they're synced up, you can keep information flowing, and amen, they'll work okay. Just the smart gadgets that we have. But I like a brisket that you can cut with a plastic fork. Now, to get it there, it needs to slowly rise to a certain temp. Once it reaches that temp, heaven on earth has happened. The Holy Spirit has to have something in this. But in order for me to do that, and for that signal to come that, the revelation has arrived, I need my thermometer to sync up with the source. So that at the right time I get this signal and I don't miss the mark, I hit the mark. And we can just talk in tongues the rest of the day at the table. Don't get it on your forehead, you'll beat it out with your tongue trying to get it. The same way with the Spirit of God, y'all, hear me, when we're synced up. We pray in the Spirit. When we're synced up, we pray in the Spirit. And it's not just a prayer meeting. You live in the Spirit. You move from one point to the next point as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's not spooky. It's not weird. It's who you are. It's what people are looking for. Everybody around you is looking to get into the current of that divine nature and become who they're designed to be. And they're not satisfied. It's a good thing. Amen. If you've come to realize you're not satisfied, you got hope. But if you've concluded that this is who I am, this is where I'm at, and I'm just going to die this way, you're in trouble. I know I'm saying, well, I have to keep from crying sometimes about that, because I'm telling you right now, the Lord is knocking on our door, and everyone online, our world needs a baptism of spirit and fire. Our news media needs a baptism of spirit and fire. Our politicians needs a baptism of spirit and fire. The Lord is not concerned about some of the things our world is concerned about right now. He's concerned about you. He already paid the debt off. These teams, he ain't in the teams, and he ain't in the diseases. His back took every disease and said, by his stripes, we were healed. He's not talking about some of the things we're talking about. He's talking about his harvest. He's talking about his children. He's talking about his kingdom. And if I'm talking about anything other than that, remember this, I'll meet anybody where they're at. If that's where they're at, I'll meet them there. But when I meet them there, if they're interested in what I have, we're going to address the problem. The problem ain't what we say it is. The problem is you don't know who you are. And you've let fear come into the little bit of faith that you had, and you can't see anything right now. It's clouded. You don't know where God is. But he's been with you the whole time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need it synced up today.